First Thessalonians, chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5. Father, tonight or today, we come to you. We ask for your great blessing, Lord. We ask for anointing. Lord, I ask that you will give enablement, that you will fill my heart kind of like you fill, like the wind fills a sail. I pray that our hearts would be ready and we would be certainly wanting more of God. Thank you, Lord. It's amazing. We focus as kingdom leaders, kingdom people. I pray that today, Lord, that this will be an awesome time in your presence. These are things we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Fifth chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5. Beginning in verse 12, and we beseech you, brothers, to know those that labor among you, and that over you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brothers, warn those that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but every person follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And by the way, as I'm reading this, I wanted to say it earlier, but Pastor Shane is not with us this morning, even though the family's here. One of the pastors, Ian Plummer, needed someone to fill his pulpit this morning. So he called Pastor Shane, and that's where Pastor Shane is this morning in Plummer. And so keep him in prayer. Back to verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourself and to all men. Now pay very close attention. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Man, that's a powerful, powerful pack of words. It's not very big, as far as big would be concerned. But that is a powerful set of commands, is it not? It really is. I was reading this. I think I've shared a little bit on this once, but I just wanted to use it as my jumping off point this morning. I'm sure all of you have heard of Matt Emmons, haven't you? Well, if I did share it, you didn't hear me. Matt Emmons exhaled and deeply took a breath. Just to stay calm, he thought, one more shot and the gold medal is mine. Leading by 3 points in the 2004 Summer Olympics, he took and he positioned his rifle. Emmons knew that his final shot only needed to get near the bullseye to assure victory. Have you ever noticed those guys and watched them in the Olympics that shoot? It's pretty amazing. He focused on the target 50 meters away and pulled the trigger. Pop! His shot hit just outside the center circle. The gold medal was his, or was it? The scoreboard didn't register any points. And Emmons began to wonder what's really going on. And he saw the tournament officials gathered. And he figured that maybe they are trying to score and maybe the scoring has a malfunction. So he began to figure this and figure that. Finally, in all of his thoughts, they were wrong. Emmons had taken his final shot in lane two. Lane two. But he hit the target in lane three. And by cross-firing on his final shot, he earned a zero and dropped from first on his way to the gold medal to eighth place. Oh, man. I don't know. Had that been me, I'm telling you what, I'd probably have thrown my Olympic gun down. How about you? Can you imagine that? And I'm thinking, this guy, he is the gold medal winner to be. How could he have shot looking down lane two, but he missed it? He actually shot to the target in lane three. I'm thinking that is amazing. I just can't hardly imagine that. So Emmons' aim was perfect and would have scored enough points to win the gold, but he focused on the wrong target. So I just kind of want to say this. I want to focus this morning on the right target. And I'm asking you to give us a 9, 9, 8, 9, 10, 10, 9, whatever. Hold it up and say, yep, because that's what God wanted me to hear. Amen. You know, the problem that we face in the church today is not insincerity. It's that the church's force is focusing on wrong assignments. I think sometimes that we are misunderstanding the nature and purpose of God's kingdom. We have marginalized the church authority and his influence, both within the walls and outside the walls. Now listen to this. The nature of God's kingdom on earth is a biblical mandate to be relevant in spiritual and in all needs that are today inside or outside the church. The church does not exist for programs, projects, preachings, buildings, but rather it exists for the primary vehicle to prepare believers to display God's glory. I'm going to say that again. The church doesn't exist primarily for these. I'm happy for these, but this is not really why Jesus died on the cross for. I mean, honestly, I am happy for these things, I tell you. But the church doesn't exist for programs or projects, preaching, or even buildings. Rather, the church exists as the primary vehicle for preparing believers to display God's glory. We exist today to reflect his glory, impact our culture, and to restore lives, thus advancing the kingdom of God. That's why we exist. Couldn't you say that? We exist to display his glory, to impact the culture, to restore lives, and to advance the kingdom. So what does a marksman do when he has missed his target and he shot in lane three instead of lane two? What does a church do if primarily we come in most of the time not necessarily with grateful hearts? Or what do we do if we have specialized in programs and we forgot the one who died for us? When Ephesians, God spoke, Christ spoke, and he said, you have left your first love. What was he saying? He's not saying that all the other things that are in you, Ephesus, is wrong. But he says at the top, you have missed the point. You shot at the wrong target. I am the ultimate target. I'm the one that you needed. And I say amen. Because I think this morning that you and I need to realize maybe, just maybe, we ought to re-examine our focus. So go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me refocus. Let me ask you, will you stand in lane two with me just for a minute and realize what do we need to think about in a focused sense? Let's read it again together. Here's what it says, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brothers, warn those that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak and be patient toward all men. How many say, I can do that? I can shoot down lane two and hit it. Anybody? Let's go on. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Consider verse 16. You know what? It would be easy, if you think about it in verse 16, to shoot outside of the lane. Rejoice evermore. But I don't want to rejoice. Rejoice evermore. I do not feel like I want to rejoice. What's feeling got to do with this? If the command and the instruction is to rejoice, what do we do? We rejoice. Consider verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing? Are you kidding me? You know what? I pray two or three times a week. Isn't that enough? Doesn't God record it? That could be part of your problem. He records it. And he knows that you're found guilty. He knows that I'm found guilty. You know, recently, I hate to say this, but I'll say it just because I have to. So if you don't mind, and you have to do this too. Take your fingers, put them in your ears like this, because I have something to tell you. Put them in there. No, I'm kidding you. I was going to try to get you not to listen. I got up in the morning. I started my day in the Word. And as I went from there, I went to one of my favorite places, the counter in my kitchen, and I had breakfast. I got everything I needed. I got everything in my pack and etter. And I started that day, and I went through that day, and I came clear to the office. And as I'm coming, I'm thinking to myself, I forgot something. And then I reminded myself, no, I didn't forget something. I chose not to pray at home because I was busy. I got to the church and I chose not to pray because I'm still busy. I got to my office and I chose not to pray because things are happening. Phone calls are coming. People are talking to me. Things are happening. People knock on the door and they want to wave at me. All kinds of things are happening. And I still haven't prayed. And I went through that day. And I realized as the day began to set that I had not sought the Lord in prayer. Now, from a pastor's standpoint, I'm probably backslidden. And I'm probably needing to find a new job. I've had some people suggest I'd be a great greeter at Walmart. So maybe I would. I don't know. But if you come in, I'm going to have a great time with you. I'll make you dance with me in the foyer at Walmart. And I'll just tell them, Christian, believer! And I'd make you go through Walmart and everybody be looking at you. Don't you wonder about how long it'll be before you can get rid of me? You just never know. I went through that whole day. And I really didn't talk to Jesus, the one I love. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm sure that the ladies in the office knew something was wrong with me. And they probably wanted to, why don't you go do something else? But they don't have the power to do that because I could fire them. But I knew something was wrong. And I'm thinking, I come to this passage and it says, pray without ceasing? Are you kidding me? How could any believer do that? We can do it. Consider standing at this point and you pull out the gun and now you're prepared and you watch the person give you the signal and you lift the gun and you're preparing to shoot and all you need is to hit within just close proximity. That's how many points he had ahead and he would win and become the gold medalist. And as he shot, he knew it, and he come down on the trigger and pulled down and pop. And he knew, he could see, and he could tell that he was there, gold medal. The only problem was, is that he pushed himself and he's just a little degree to the right, and he missed it. Wrong row. You know, that's how it works here. I'm looking at these. Go back and look at them with me. Rejoice evermore. How easy it is to miss and to pull the trigger and miss that point. Pray without ceasing. In other words, it ought to be something we do constant, different forms of it. We think it and pray in thinking. We pray with our mouth. We pray with our heart. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 19, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Since I have been a pastor in this church, I've had it said to me that there were some who questioned the prophesying in our church. All I can do is take you to the 14th chapter of Corinthians and ask you to read the first three verses. What does it say prophecy is? And as long as we are in that lane, we're okay. Do you understand? So in order to get on with this message, because I'm stepping all over what I want to say, I want you to look at verse 18. In everything, say everything. No, I'd like to say I don't think the Bible means that. I think the Bible means that in most, but not everything. In fact, I just want to encourage you. You know what? This is kind of a different, it's a modern day, it's a modern age. This is a great time. We can, not in everything are we to give thanks, but in most. So all of you, how many will follow this new kind of doctrine with me? How many will do this? In most things, we're going to give thanks. Everybody raise your hand. Here we go. What happened? I almost forced you out of lane two into lane three. I almost got you to pull the trigger, didn't I? In fact, the truth is some of you are probably thinking that and you wouldn't tell me about it. That's why you didn't get the gold. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Oh God, thank you for snow on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Lord, thank you that we can't even find a mite. They're 6 foot deep of snow. I'm just kidding, Francie. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the snow. And Lord, it's hard for me. But when you say everything, I've got to do it. Lord, thank you also for Kathy Leader, who prays for snow. Oh, God. Does it really mean everything? And God says, yep. Verse 18, I love it. Pray in everything. I love the first word. In, it kind of looks like into a pool. It's not standing out saying, maybe at the edge you can. No. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. It's the will of God. Maybe we need to change that doctrine when I said just most things. Because it seems to be it's the will of God. In Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's really wrapped up tight. That you and I are to give thanks in everything, for it is the will of God, wrapped up in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Wow. So now I look at categories and I say to myself, self, this is where thankfulness has to flow. Yeah. At all times, in God's will, also wrapped up in the authority of Jesus Christ. Our church is the same way. If you think something is wrong today or was wrong 6 weeks ago, or if you think somebody didn't do something quite right, let me just tell you this. In everything, give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. I'm sure that you know Dennis and Barbara Rainey. How many's ever heard of them? Okay, let's do something else here first. Let's just remember that we have to be involved when the pastor preaches. So you know, things like this, you can do it. How many have heard of Dennis and Barbara Rainey? There's a whole lot more when I got you involved. You know, it's interesting because here's a short story. In 1993, our family was at the Family Life Parenting Conference in Dallas. We realized something was seriously wrong at that point with our son's leg. Our son Samuel, 16. He's our most athletic offspring. As a kid, he never walked anywhere. He would sprint to the car, slide around corners, jump up on top of every door and try to touch the top of it, imitating Michael Jordan with a slam dunk. But there in Dallas, Samuel couldn't keep up with us as we raced across the airport to catch our plane. Later, the neurologist gave us the news. He sat us down and he said, "Dennis and Barbara, Samuel has muscular dystrophy, MD. Since then, the reality of Samuel's physical limitation has descended on us. In daily installments, he falls down the stairs. Jars of jam and jelly he cannot open. Braces are on his legs. And we remember the painful time that he tried without success to water ski like his sisters and brother. Frankly," this is Dennis. Dennis Rainey says, "Frankly, I'm still learning how to give thanks in all of this. Frankly, I'm still trying to learn how to give thanks in all of this." Don't raise your hand. But doesn't that sound familiar in some ways? In some things that have hurt, some things that have really been pointed, some things that have just, maybe there's not life any longer. I want to read that again. "Frankly, I'm still learning how to give thanks in all of this. I know the passage doesn't mean that we must give thanks specifically for Samuel's MD as though God sent it." And I thought that was a great comment. Because he's saying we don't give thanks for the MD, but we give thanks for God still being in control of our son, he controls all things, has allowed even our son to have this problem. We are still going to give thanks there. That would be like for cancer. We don't give thanks for the cancer, but we give thanks to the God who is over all things, even cancer. And we still praise him. And I thought, that is a great thought. And then he says, "But since God has all authority in heaven and earth, he did allow it to happen. So we're trying to learn to be thankful in the situation over which God is sovereign." Let me ask you a question. Is God really a sovereign God? Do you believe that? If you believe that, that means he is sovereign in the entire cosmos, over all of creation. He is sovereign over Putin, over Russia, over G, over China. He is sovereign over all things in the political process of America. He is sovereign over it all. Do you believe that? And he's also sovereign over the bad that sometimes we find ourselves in or comes our way. It doesn't mean that he created it to be that way. But I think what he did was he allowed it because he is still the God. They looked at him and they said, "Lord," I don't think they called him Lord at that point in John. But they said, "Jesus, Jesus, this man was born this way." And they're saying, "Tell us, who sinned? Him or his parents?" And Jesus says, "Neither. but for the glory of God. Are you big enough with wisdom and intelligence to dive into that deeper? I'm not sure that I am. I only know this, that when I am to give thanks in everything, what I'm saying is that the God I serve is God over everything. And sometimes if I don't want to give thanks, if I don't want to have a heart of gratitude, if I just want to hold on to my baggage of this disposition and just kind of be prudish and sour, I can do that. But he's still sovereign over that as well. Amen? You know what I find God is? I find that God gives his known will. He gives his known will to us, and we have the right to live it or not live it. Do you believe that? He gives us his known will. Take your Bibles and hold them up. This is the known will of God. If you go out of this building, you put them down. If you go out of this building today and go home, and within 1 hour you're cursing, or you're lying, or you're cheating, you know what? You just went right over the top of his known will. And what did he do about it? It's obvious that he didn't duct tape you to the wall. It's obvious that God didn't say, you get to your room. You are a bad, bad, bad member of the Assembly of God Church. He didn't do that. But he allows us to either obey or not obey his known will. But I want to tell you this. When you step across from his known will to his sovereign will, that's when you have to be careful. Because in his sovereignty, he is Lord of all. Back over here what you've broken, you can break it all day if you want to, if you think you're good enough and bad enough. If you want to suffer the consequence of your sin. But I'm telling you, when you get to his sovereign will, I would say you need to stay there and don't go against it. And rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore that in the midst of that sovereign will, that you're going to love and serve him. Amen? Amen. A sovereignty. Whew. So back to this idea. Now I'm going to be careful. But in sovereignty, all I've heard in the last 6 months is World War III, nuclear holocaust. All I hear is this and that and this. And you know what? The truth is, I think America is poking some eyes and is pushing some things, getting closer and closer. I think we're doing stupid things. You better be praying for your leadership. But I want to tell you this. Not one nuke can go off apart from his sovereignty. Not one nation can deny and do what they want apart from his sovereignty. No one can walk apart from his sovereignty. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. Now listen, I can do my own thing and I can do things that even breaks his commandments. But boy, oh boy, if I get close to his sovereignty and touch something that he said no, don't eat of this. I know that I can't. I'm trying to say to you this morning, and in this short idea from Dennis and Barbara Rainey, in marriage ministries, of course, when he says, but since God has authority in heaven and in earth, he did allow it to happen. So we are trying to learn to be thankful in the situation over which God is sovereign. So God didn't create the MD to be destructive, I don't think, but he certainly allowed it to happen. So I just want to read this. Listen to my thoughts. Samuel himself has help. Only a few hours after, I love this, because it's such a mindset. Only a few hours after the doctor's diagnosis, we realize the disease had not robbed Samuel of his great sense of humor. He responded to the announcement, and he said this with a great big grin. He says, oh, hey, Dad, Mom,
I see what they're saying I have. But he says, you know what this means? It means that I'll always get to park in handicapped parking from now on. Well, 16 years old. I think this is more than just cracking a joke to conceal the pain. It indicates the way that God is enabling our whole family to live through a family tragedy at all, against all odds. Sometimes, he says, I find myself giving thanks merely out of obedience. Sometimes I find myself giving thanks out of faith. Sometimes I find myself giving thanks because it is his will in Christ Jesus. And sometimes I give thanks even when I don't feel it. And what is the Christian life about if we're not growing in faith and obedience? Giving thanks in all things, it ultimately becomes a test of our faith. Amen. I wanted to make this so very clear this morning. And so I'm going to just stay real close to closing. I don't know. Several years ago, I used this lady as an illustration. And as I used her as an illustration, I didn't realize there were other stories that had come out about her. Her name is Darlene Rose. And it goes like this. True story. Missionary. Missionary's wife. She says, the guard shoved me into a 6x6 cell. I dropped to my knees and I was watching the end of the key, I thought, as it turned. When the key turned, a complete revolution, I was locked on death row. Suddenly, I realized I was singing. It was a song I had learned when I was a little girl in Sunday school. Quote, fear not, little flock, whatever your lot. He enters all rooms and doors, even being shut. He never forsakes. He's never gone. So count on his presence from darkness to dawn. She says, I found myself singing this little Sunday school song. And they locked me in on death row. But they could not lock my Lord out, even though they locked me in. He was there with me. Sometimes the glory of his presence filled the cell, and I would have to totally stop. I would have tears in my eyes because I felt sometimes that I was just in the midst of all his glory in a 6x6 cell. So my question is this morning, how would you react to a cell? 6x6, locked in, death row. Would you panic? Would you have cried out? What would you have done? Would you have said, God, you've forsaken me? Are you kidding me? You're asking me in this hour, you're really according to like the scripture, to give thanks for all things? Is that maybe what we could have and would have done? And as I read the story, I read how there were times in Darlene Rose, her life, when she cried out to God and she even said, Lord, are you there? Have you forsaken me? But only to come back to the times when she would begin to quote things like this. Darlene, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. She would quote, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man shall do to me, Hebrews 13. She went on even to quote Isaiah 49. Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. And the Lord forgot me. Yet God says, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. I think maybe today some of us ought to take a good look at our hands again and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. I read the earlier story of Darlene Rose some years ago. And the story went like this, and she was in the same prison camp. Her husband was in the same nation. I'll say it was in like Vietnam or Laos or some of these, I'm not sure. And her husband was in another camp who later died while she was still in the prison camp. They both were there, but she didn't die. And she's in this terrible place. And one day she comes to this, just this thought, and she says to herself, she says, I can only see through this one little place. And she could look out across and across the top of the big walls, and she could see a banana tree. And she said, oh, Lord, I just wish I could have a banana, just one. Just a banana, that's all I want. And here is this wonderful missionary who gave her whole life to go to the mission field. She says it wasn't but just a short time. She says all of a sudden, she says, I sat up because I heard my door, the bolt opened. And she said the lock came open. And she says my door opened wide and my eyes can hardly contain the light. And she says all of a sudden something comes into my little cell, just comes in and it just flies in and hits the ground and the door shuts and it's locked again. And she says, I'm trying to figure out, what is this? And she says, as I look down closer and closer and closer to the heart of a praiser and to the heart of one who is in thanksgiving, she looks down and she realizes what had happened. Is that the guard, for whatever reason, had went and brought her one of the, you ever see those, I don't know what you call them, a pod, or you call them a, what is it, a whole, when, a bunch, is that what we call it? Kind of like, well, you wouldn't call geese a bunch, you'd say they're a gaggle, but I wasn't sure what this was. And here's this whole bunch of bananas, literally, and they're still on the stem. On the what? Stalk, stem, you're right, anybody else? And she sees it and she's, oh! And what did God do? God had heard the cry of her heart. Nobody else heard the cry of her heart. Nobody else could even understand. She's in a cell by herself. Her husband, maybe by this point, had already been killed or died in the other prison camp. And she's crying out, says, Lord, just a banana. And what does the Lord do? He gives her a whole bunch of bananas, and they're laying at her feet. Isn't that awesome? Now, you may say, oh, Pastor, you just make up good stories. That's a true story. And I'm just telling you this morning, we are to be thankful and grateful and be thankful in all things. Why? Because the pastor told you. No, because God, it is his will to be thankful. And I say, Lord, thank you. Is he not a great God? Yes. He is a great God. I'd like you to close your Bibles, please. Interesting to hear your Bibles closing. It's a good sign. That means they were open. It also told me that I'm always talking when I tell you to close your Bibles. And when I didn't talk, I could hear that. That's a great sound. That's a great sound. I want to read this again to you. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to skip over 18. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And verse 18. In everything, say everything.
Everything.
Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you realize how many places that scripture can apply? It can apply to my feelings, my attitudes, my body, my sickness, my financial problems. It can apply to somebody that doesn't like me, somebody who really likes me. It can apply to, you know, my children, my grandchildren. It can apply to the city I live in. It can apply to people that are the fathers of our city because they're not doing it the way we think. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, thanks. Pop. Floyd, I was not shooting at you when you left out through the door there. Pop. You know what? He doesn't have to give thanks at that point because he's the gold medal winner. But when he finds what he had done, that he shot down the wrong aisle, now he's tested to give thanks. You know what? Thanks comes really easy sometimes when everything's going good. Man, big check, lots of food, new truck, a lot of good stuff's happening. Got a girlfriend, got a boyfriend, a lot of good stuff, you know? But when you shoot down the wrong aisle to target number 3 instead of 2, now you're going to have to give thanks because it still is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isn't that amazing? We serve an awesome God. Can you do that? So I want you to stand. Can you take your hand, just kind of go like this? Don't shoot at anybody. But I just want to take your hand and just put it out there. And I want you right now to let the Holy Spirit speak. What do you need to thank God for? What is it that you've withheld thankfulness? Where have you withheld thankfulness to others? Where have you withheld thankfulness in your own life? What is it today that God says, come over. There, now you've lined up. That's your target. Now give thanksgiving in this because it is the will of God to say, thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for being with me here. Thank you for taking over this area. Even though it's a hard place, you're still with me. And I'm thanking you this morning. Praise God. Would you do that right now? Would you thank him? Would you thank the Lord in the midst of this trial or this test, or thank him in the midst of these good things because you haven't thanked him for it? Let's just give thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, I pray blessing upon your church today. I ask that, Lord God, that we would be a people that are thankful and we will be grateful. Our hearts will be full of thanksgiving. We will be a grateful people every day. I pray that, Lord God, when we want to walk in bitterness or we want to walk in unforgiveness or we want to walk in I can do it, our own pride, our own arrogance, whatever it is, I ask you, Lord, to still bless. And let it be strong and mighty in our lives. It's obvious to me that I have an edict to fulfill. That if this thankfulness is from God, and he's wrapped that up in his son's name, I can do nothing less. So Lord, I pray blessings. May your church continue today. And even if they slide a little bit, and they can't find the gravel, and even, Lord, if they're wondering, why did you send this today? Lord, we're going to give you thanks because you're a faithful God. These are things we ask and we pray In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You know, I almost wanted to tell you, go to somebody and tell them what you're thankful for. But we said it a while ago. But you can still do it if you want to. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.